And joining us on the phone this morning for our daily COVID-19 update, we have a member of the mayor's coronavirus task force, and that is Gina Scroggs, who is the executive director of Downtown Manhattan. Good morning, Gina.
Good morning, Dave.
I see you once in a while these days, it seems like, down there. And, you know, I drove downtown yesterday, and it seemed like it was about the first time that I had been downtown where there were actually some cars in the streets.
Yes, it is starting to perk up a bit. I think consumer confidence is slowly but surely starting to come back to life a little bit. I think phase two, which is the reopening, obviously, of almost everything, including hair salons and gyms and studios and the like, I think that'll be a big push towards getting even more people out and about.
What are you seeing from some of your retail stores or maybe hearing? You know, like, I've heard like there are some different strategies that they have utilized over the last 6 weeks that they haven't really been able to do much of anything, and how they're continuing with that and attempting to make this transition and what some of their struggles and hopes may be.
Yes. So, as we all know, small business owners all across the United States are some of the most ingenious, creative, and brave people out there. They are the fabric of American society, and they will get through this. We saw right off the bat, when the shutdown occurred, 56% of our businesses downtown were deemed non-essential. And so that was just a huge hit right there. So the businesses that were able to sort of pivot and find ways to stay operational, even though that's, let's be honest, still for the most part limping along, they were very, very creative. And, I mean, we saw things like live stream your yoga class or online tutorials for how to cover the roots in your hair. Online shopping that a lot of businesses, you know, most of them are not, don't have e-commerce sites and had to quickly move into that realm of online sales. It was an uncomfortable thing, but many of them did move right into e-commerce. So that was a nice shift for them. We saw people get creative with delivering product or FaceTime shopping that had never really occurred before. And of course, our restaurants, they were very fortunate in that they did get to transition right into a delivery, a curbside pickup, contactless pickup, and then Paul Graff's Tap House, they had a pop-up drive-through, which was very successful and so fun, be able to get out and stay in your car, though, and drive through that back alley and pick up some really fun food. So,
do you hear from your restaurateurs, Gina, that you know, being able to do some curbside pickup helped sustain them through this break?
Absolutely. I mean, this sustain is a very positive word.
Considering the alternatives, yes.
Yes, yes. Considering the alternatives. For example, AJ's Pizzeria was a business that was able to do a bit more than just be sustainable. They were able to keep 100% of their employees. They converted many of those people into delivery drivers, and you know, ordering pizza for carryout or delivery is part of the American fabric. So we all, as consumers, we all got that pretty easily. Where it got fun and interesting was when the alcohol beverage control allowed for us to, for our restaurants to be able to sell alcohol to go. So that really sort of helped spur on some sales so that, you know, utilities could be paid and maybe rent could be paid. But, you know, no monumental amount of income was rolling in during these efforts. It's just that they were able to sort of limp along and keep their core people employed.
How about the employment aspect? Are you, are some of the businesses that may or may not have relied so heavily on K-State students that without them here, are they able to adequately staff their businesses as they stand today and maybe here in a few weeks when things can open up further?
You know, we do a survey, an annual survey every year of our downtown businesses. And this year this survey was quite different. We don't usually have to ask these kinds of questions, but I did ask how do the students being gone impact your business in a variety, you know, what and in what ways? And quite honestly, most, I'd say, if I can recall off the top of my head, I think it was 70% of our businesses do not rely on K-State students as employees. And then it was about 50% that, right down the middle, that it was rely on them as patrons. So it's a bit of a hit. Most businesses were able to take advantage of Paycheck Protection Program and were able to rehire those that they furloughed, and or we currently have several businesses that are actually hiring and hiring more people than they had before COVID. So it's not all doom and gloom. We do have positive things going on. Of course, we went into COVID on a high, very successful. We've had an upward trajectory of growth for the last 7 years. So we had a little bit of built-in cushion, and I don't speak for every business downtown that it was that way, but for many, there was a cushion. There were built-in relationships. A lot of these people knew that they were going to be able to come back and have a job. But unfortunately, about 50% of our workforce downtown was furloughed.
What about some of the stores that may not be able to return at all? Have you heard much from some of your downtown merchants or restaurateurs?
Luckily for us, we haven't had a small business that has indicated to me that they will be closing due to COVID. We have had two chain restaurants in the legal downtown district. Blue Moose and Imperial Gardens, I think, announced yesterday that due to COVID, they were going to have to close. But as far as locally owned small business, we haven't had any of that yet.
How about some of the retailers? I know that there have been some large, you know, nationally based retailers that have announced that it may be a while for them to get to full strength in terms of their operating hours and staffing.
Yeah, I think that it's really, it doesn't matter if you're a national chain or a small business guy. We're all sort of in the same boat together, so to speak. Surely, you know, the national chains have a little bit more resources and better capabilities to sort of start their engine going, but they are also larger, and so they're like a locomotive, and they, you know, it takes them a while to get to full speed. That's why while our mall is open, and we're so happy for that, there are businesses that, you know, are not opened yet. That doesn't mean that they're not going to be open, but every corporation seems to be taking their time and figuring out the best way to go about this. I think it's an interesting fact, and it is just this, it's just a fact, that the responsibility of public health seems to be the responsibility of employers and businesses, no matter your size. There's all kinds of requirements put on to the businesses for keeping the public safe, keeping their employees safe, but there are no real requirements of the public. There are recommendations and there are guidelines. So I think with that situation and the way that it works, it it is a motivator for businesses, no matter their size, but most definitely for small businesses, to go about this in a very methodical way, because so much is riding on it. They want to get it right the first time. They don't want to be the location that an infection was traced back to. They have all of these things that they have to do. They have to build shields. They have to get supplies in to be able to operate. Unfortunately, some of them are having to use relief money that they receive either locally, state, or federally to pay for PPE supplies in order to be open. So that's kind of a double-edged sword there. But I think that's generally why you'll see some hesitation, and rightly so, in the business community, because it's largely on them to create this protected space for the public to come into.
Well, I know that there are two key words that I think you and probably everybody that is in the retail or restaurant business that they want to be able to emphasize, and those two words are shop local.
Amen. Yes, shop, eat, dine, drink, play. We can't wait for the time when things return to whatever the new normal is going to be, and our customers feel like they can come down and feel that sense of home that they have always or that they've come to know about downtown, being able to stroll on the sidewalks and go in and out of all of their favorite shops and support local business. I think it is a part of our American history, and it's important that the public supports small business now, especially during this time.
Well, there's going to be a lot of excited people that are ready for customers to come back through their doors. So
absolutely.
A lot of excited customers, too.
Yep. We are eager to have all of our favorite people come back through the doors, and we've missed everyone. We really have missed people. I was sitting on the bench outside a couple days ago looking around thinking, wow, we need our flower baskets. We need our people back up, and I wouldn't even mind chasing a bike rider off the sidewalk at this point.
Gina Scroggs from downtown Manhattan, thank you for joining us this morning, and give our best to all those downtown for getting back after it.
Thank you, Dave. I will certainly do that.